Money is a good thing. Nothing wrong with the money. We can own money. We can use money properly. However, if the money starts to own us, that's a major problem. Somehow we think that money is the root of all evil. Is that correct?
No.
Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy is right before where? 2 Timothy, according to great theologian, who? Jack Laverty. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So love of money is the root of all evil, and the greed is the one kills the unity. Greed and selfishness is the one kill the unity of the body of Christ. However, we're going to find out, and let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 5, we find out that this greed and selfishness activate well among the Jewish people and end up causing problems. What were they doing so far? They were rebuilding the Jerusalem wall so they can be protected from the reproach of the surrounding tribes and surrounding nations. It is important for them to keep the wall up. Now, this is not just, we don't apply this thing as a physical walls, but we apply as a spiritual wall in our heart. If we leave ourselves open, wide open, Satan declares as open season against us. So we have to put the guard up, and we have to put the walls up, spiritual wall up, against a satanic attack. What would that be, the wall? The Word of God in our heart. That's why it is so important for us to putting the Word in our heart so that we may not sin against God. In here, this chapter 5 is a really sad chapter in my opinion. Why? Because it does not record anything about the rebuilding the wall. But it talks about the disintegration of unity. Economic matter they are dealing with, and Nehemiah is dealing with those people, it's not just remain in economic matter, but it evolves into the spiritual problem. Why the spiritual problem? Because we will see in more in depth. God bless you. See, economic burden is laying on this poor Jewish people with the tax and debt, and of course, to make the matter worse, there was big famine. You can find that in the history. So there is a lot of problem. On top of all of that, the rich people is abusing the power against the poor people in Jerusalem. Tonight we are going to study Nehemiah, how he deal with these people, practical matter. Something we need to put in our heart against our greed, against our selfishness. Let's not think that it does not happen in the body of Christ. It happens many times. If you have any doubt, may I remind Jim Baker, Tammy Baker, and I can go on. And what's that guy's name in Texas? Who cry over? He supposedly cry over the letters he gets from these people. Tilton. There we go. He has his and her Mercedes-Benz, and John Hagee, who makes $1.25 million a year, and he thinks he is worth every penny of it. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you knew what you were getting when you chose us. We are greedy. We are selfish people. We are wicked human beings. We are sinners. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, accepted by your grace. And we want to learn from you not to be like that anymore. We want to be just like Jesus. Teach us. Our hearts open, our Bibles open to receive your instruction. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to find the outcry of the people in verse 1 of chapter 5. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. Nehemiah had a full day of construction work, and he still had the hard hat and his tool belt around his waist. And he come in and he find that there is an outcry against the Jewish people and rulers. So he must deal with this problem, and we're going to find that three different problems. Number one, we can find it in verse 2. For there were those who said, "We, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live." In other words, they are hungry. Hunger is a problem. Due to the great famine, these people are going through a lot of problem with a low inventory of the food in their pantry, I guess. And that, if that's not bad enough, there's more problem. Verse 3. There were also some who said, "We have mortgaged our land and vineyard and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine." Problem number 2 is a debt. So first one is hunger, second one is debt. Due to the heavy taxes by the king Artaxerxes, and these people, other people are suffering with the, you know. If you guys have don't have a problem with the taxes from the IRS, raise your hand, please. Okay. So I think we know what they're talking about. You don't have a problem with the IRS? Would you like to talk about this? It's a secret. All right, verse 4, 5, you find the problem 3 is slavery. Now, the verse, problem 1 and the problem 2, hunger and the debt. Nehemiah couldn't do much about it. But the problem number 3, that ticked him off. We find out there were also those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's taxes on our land and the vineyard. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren. Our children are their children. Yet we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. Some of our daughters have been bought into the slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them. For other men have our lands and vineyards." As I said, the first problem, he couldn't do much about it. Third problem is the one against Nehemiah's knowledge. Against what knowledge? Is it because according to Word of God, we're going to find out in Exodus and Deuteronomy, God clearly told us what not to do. So these rich Jewish people, rulers, were doing the things they are doing deliberately disobedient to God. Let me ask you this. This is talk back time, okay? If you can summarize the Christian life, if you can summarize Christian life with one word, what would that be? Come on.
Surrender.
Huh? Surrender?
Faith.
Love. What? Love. And what?
Serving.
Servant.
Humbling.
What did you say over there?
Obedience.
And what? Humility?
Yeah.
I think my wife said it correctly. I didn't give her the answer before. But yeah, right. It's rigged, right? It is obedience. If we become obedient to God, guess what happened in our heart? We have a righteousness in our heart. If we are obedient to God, we have a love for other people and love for God. If we are obedient to God, we have a faith. We cannot have a faith unless we become obedient to God's word. Agree? So one word that describes the proper and right Christian walk with Christ is obedient. Obedience. These people were deliberately going against the word of God. Why? Let's go back to the two problems that I mentioned at the beginning. Greed and selfishness. Let's see how Nehemiah is dealing with it. Verse 6. "And I became very angry, and when I heard their outcry and these words." A lot of people think that Christians are not supposed to be angry. Is that true? No? You mean we can be angry? Righteous indignation. Jesus had it. He threw the people out from the temple. Those who were making a money market and selling doves, all these things. And also, God has a righteous indignation when his followers worshiping other than Jehovah God, worshiping idol, he had a righteous indignation. Let me put it this way. When our children doing something wrong against our principle, do we have a right to be angry with them? Yes. It does not mean that we can beat the snot out of them. We like to do that. But, yes.
Only after the teenagers.
Only after the teenagers. You can beat the snot out of them? Okay. But they're too big then. Anyway, we have a right to be angry at our children, just like God is angry at ourselves, because we are His children. Now, if Larry's kid, the three precious children, if they do something wrong, I don't think they do anything wrong, right? Not a one time, right? They clean their own room, they do their own laundry, they take care of their own food, right? Right? Is that right, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 3 months, all right. If they do anything wrong, I'm not supposed to be there yelling at them. Why? Because they are not my kid. God would not yell at those who do not follow Him. But He will yell at those who follow Him because He loves us. Let's see how Nehemiah is going to react. Verse 7. After serious thought, some of your versions said, after consulting to myself, I rebuked the nobles and the ruler. If you notice, he took time. He didn't lash out with his anger and pulling, you know, we will find a few things what Nehemiah is going to do down the road. He didn't throw his temper tantrum around to the people who did wrong. He thought through. I'm sure he talked with God, prayed to God, and he is rebuking these people. We are going to find out why he was so bent out of shape. Charge number one we are going to find is God's principle of lending. God's principle of lending can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 23, please. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Hey, guy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the New Testament, chapter 23, verse 19. Huh? Yeah, whatever, that's what I meant. Come on, can't you guys read my mind? Chapter 23, verse 19 of Deuteronomy. Verse 19. You're all there? Almost there? All right. You shall not charge what? Interest to your brother. Interest on money or the food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner, you may charge interest, but to your brother, you shall not charge interest that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hands in the land of which you are entering to possess. All right. Let's make this in our contemporary application. Does it mean, let's say I have a Boku box, like a $40, and a caller asks me, can you loan me a couple bucks? Can you spot me five so I can go buy his favorite burgers? And, okay, should I charge him interest? Why not? It's loaning money. I've got to have some interest, low rate of 25%. No. In my opinion, this is my opinion. You can be wrong if you disagree. Within the brothers and sisters, if somebody needs the money and you're willing to loan them money, do it. But at the same time, in probably you'll find, don't think that you're going to get it back. Think as you're just giving it to them. If they can give it back to you, fine. But don't charge them interest. And just consider as giving it to them. some of us might think, that's not a good economic principle. Well, that's the exactly point. It may not make sense to us, but it makes sense to God. Why? Because that's what God says. What about the non-believers? Charge of interest. But not exorbitant amount that they will start to think that we are a loan shark. See, these Jewish people, Jewish leaders, they are literally loan shark. Just side story. Have you ever been in the pawn shop? I went in there to take a picture from the yellow page ad that I had to design. I asked them, how much do you charge for the if I borrow $200 for a week? I forgot the exact amount. It's like 25% or 26% interest within a few days. I mean, these people who come to the pawn shop, they already are going through a tough time with the money, and they're just gouging them out. The worst one is a payday loan. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. If you anyone who is going to go through that thing, come talk to me before you do that kind of stupid thing. You will lose entire paycheck by doing so. That's modern-day loan shark. And oh, by the way, that's a legalized loan shark. Nehemiah finding out that he has a loan shark in his town. Principle of the God's way, the money lending is don't charge another brothers and sisters. If you have money, you can live without it, give it to them. If they can give it back to you, great. It's better for them to give it back to you. It's a good stewardship. That's one of the reasons why I did not file the bankruptcy when we were going through a real tough time. Because I owe them money. I thought I owe them money. I had to pay them back. And I did, with God's help. Is it wrong for the people, God's people to file the bankruptcy? No, that was my conviction. I'm not going to impose that my conviction to other people. But however, if you cannot do anything other than bankruptcy, go file the bankruptcy. But I'm not standing against it. But that was, what I thought was, that was my conviction from the Lord. Another guy's principle that God is against stood against these Jewish people was slavery. It is acceptable, it was acceptable custom and manner that they handle. Let's say I borrowed the money from Jack Laverty or did whatever the situation is, or I borrowed a cow and I had a cow, so for whatever reason I couldn't pay him back. If I don't have money to pay him back the cost of a cow, I can employ myself as his servant. Nothing wrong with it. And serve him for an amount of time. However, he has obligation on the year of Jubilee, which translates the year of liberty. The 50th year, they had to set free any Jewish slave, any Jewish servant. You can find in Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 17. You might want to jot it down, take a look at it if I'm speaking the truth. Ezekiel 46, 17. Year of Jubilee allowed all the slave, Jewish slaves to be set free. However, these people were ignoring. What if I, Jewish, year of Jubilee is 2 years down the road, and I'm employing myself as his servant. And I still have about 5 more years to pay him. He doesn't have a choice. He has to release me, excuse me, from the servanthood. Because he had to trust God to take care of the rest of them. See, everything comes down to the trusting God. That everything comes down to what? Obedience. If we obey God, we will not be greedy, we will not be selfish. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus is the third book in the Old Testament. I don't want to be corrected by Jack again. Chapter 25, verse 35. Leviticus 25, 35. 25, 35 sounds like a bingo game. If one of your brethren become poor and fall into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or the sojourner, that you, he may live with you. No usury, usury or the interest from him, but fear your God. Underline, fear your God. That's the bottom line. That your brother may live with you, you should not lend him your money for usury, not lend him your food or profit, at a profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. And if one of your brethren who dwelt by you become poor, sell himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave, as a hired servant and a sojourner. He shall be with you, and you shall serve you until the what? Year of Jubilee. Every 50th year, they must be released, set free. This monarch was doing exactly against the word of God. That's why Nehemiah was deeply angry with them. Verse 7, and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from your brother. So I called the great assembly against them. Now, as a skilled prosecutor, he's been charged against them. Charge number one, against the loan sharking. As we talked about Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 18 through 20, and he's charged against the verse 8. And I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed your Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. And now indeed, will you even sell your brother, or should they be sold to us? And they were silenced and found nothing to say. That's charge number two against the slavery of their own people. As we talked about in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 35 through 3, by using God's word, he's presenting an airtight case against these people. Of course, they couldn't have a defense, so there was nothing to surrender. Verse 9, as a good leader, he does not live with a few rebukes, no solution. He gives them how to handle this situation. Let's go to verse 9. And then I said, what are you doing is not good. Should you not, the line, walk in the fear of your God? Walk in fear of your God. That is the main point of solution. Because of the approach of the nations, so our enemies, also with my brother and my servant, I am lending them the money and the grain. Please, let us, number one, stop. That's the number one. This is usury. Number two, restore. Now to them, even to this day, their land, their vineyard, their olive grove, their houses, also the hundreds of money, the grain, the new wine, and the oil that you have charged them. Just keep your finger right there. Let's think about the first problem. What was the first problem? What was the problem? Hunger. What's the second problem? Death. What's the third problem? Slavery. Let's put things in our situation. Remember, this does not just remain in the economical situation. I told you guys, this evolves into what? Spiritual condition. Because they were disobedient to God's word, let's put that thing in our. If we start to become disobedient to God's word, guess what happened now? Our flesh overrides our spirit. Our spirit will become hungry, correct? And our spirit will be in deep debt, because they are laying in fresh water, fresh food. They are in debt. If that's not bad enough, our spirit become what? Slave to our flesh. Am I making sense to you guys? If we become disobedient, what happens? We become hungry in the word, we become in debt to God, and then become slave to our flesh. Let's not forget. All right, let's go back. Where was I? So they said, we will restore it. I underlined the stop at number two, restore, and then we'll go, this is, put those numbers in and just keep in mind. We will restore it and we'll require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called priest and required an oath. Underline, require an oath from them that they wouldn't do according to this promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, Amen. And praise the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. As I said, as a good leader, he gave them more than just a rebuke. He gave them a solution. Number one, when we realize we are doing something wrong, what are we supposed to do? Stop. Correct. Determine to stop the wrongdoing. And then, second thing we have to do, restore. Whatever is the sacrifice we have to make, we must do what is right. Let me repeat. Whatever the cost is, we must do what is right. Restore. Third, and it said require an oath. We declare the plan, the correction, and the promise before God. Not only just say, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Guess what? Tomorrow never comes. Mañana never comes. Because if tomorrow, guess what we say? Tomorrow. That's why Jesus says in the New Testament, today is a day of what? Salvation, not tomorrow. Because one of the big weapons Satan used against the two wishy-washy people, do it tomorrow. Do it mañana. No. Today is the day to make a decision to follow God. Today is the day to stop the wrongdoing. Today is the day to restore, put it back, whatever, and then follow. All right. I think I'm pretty much making all the applications so far. I can add a couple more applications. It is essential to handle our money with the right heart before God. Do it. Let us be a keeper. Let us be a keeper. I want to deal with this about the giving more intensely in a couple of weeks. That means we're going to have a dropping on the congregation number-wise in a couple of weeks. Don't skip on me. Actually, it's good for you guys. So second thing we have is a money problem is rarely only a money problem. Money problem is rarely money problem. It goes deeper. It comes from greed, selfishness. And thinking that we need to take care of the problem with our own money, depending on God. I'm going to ask you, write down a piece of paper tonight. Before you go to bed, remind yourself to ask yourself this question. If I had a $40 million cash in your name, no string attached, $40 million in your name, what would you do? Would you depend on God? Would you ask God, even a good thing, let's say there is somebody who needs help. Would you write a check without asking God? Probably will. I'm doing good thing in God's name. What if that person is in training by God? You know what I'm saying? What if that person is not supposed to be helped by anyone except go through a difficult time, but we are helping him out. And he never learned. We get God's way. So it's important for us, whether we are rich or poor, somewhere in between, we need to remember it's God's money, not ours. We have to depend on him. That's why in our church, we have... I know, Dave was, we are stupid to have this kind of class. We don't have budget. We don't have budget. If we have money, we don't spend. And where God guides, what does he do? God provides. And we don't go out by something when on the lawn, except building, I guess. He had to provide, otherwise we are not doing anything. You would not, I promise you, you would not see a thermometer with a line going up for the building fund. If you see me, kick me out. Let us use God's money to bring glory instead of fleeing pleasure to ourselves. Nothing wrong with taking a vacation. I'm not against it. It's a part of it. God wants us to take the time off with a husband and wife or whoever, yourself. Take a vacation for you. But let us not just dwelling on the fleeing pleasure. It is His name. Let us use it for His glory. All right. I'm done. Yeah, wake up, Carl.